Hey folks, this is Carrie Arentakai, reading Keep Track of Losing Days by Giraffter, Chapter 10, Endings and Beginnings. So I did just read Chapter 9. This is all in the same night again. Who was I kidding that I was going to resist? So I don't know the schedule yet for the extras, but I'll do them at some point. Okay. Wei Ying's face is gray. His breathing is shallow. His eyes are red and angry. Meng Yao has an arm wrapped around his neck, holding Wei Ying in place in front of him. He's enough shorter than Wei Ying that he's pulling Wei Ying's shoulders back, his neck at an awkward angle, the gun's barrel pointing upward directly into the thinnest part of Wei Ying's skull. Wang Ji levels his gun at Meng Yao's forehead, where he's peering out over Wei Ying's shoulder. Meng Yao quickly ducks behind his human shield. Reluctantly, Wang Ji lowers the weapon, not wanting to point it directly at Wei Ying's face, but keeps it at the ready. Lan Zhan, Wei Ying rasps. Get out. Go get help. It'll be okay. He's shaking a little. He's not going to do that, Meng Yao says in his pleasant businessman's voice. Are you, Lan Wangji? Let him go, Wangji growls. Meng Yao peeks out over Wei Ying's shoulder and smiles again. I'm afraid Wei Wuxian isn't done with his work. Wangji brings the gun back up. Meng Yao ducks back behind Wei Ying, but Wang Ji doesn't lower it again, keeping it pointed just over Wei Ying's shoulder, waiting for a clear shot at Meng Yao's head. Wei Ying closes his eyes and swallows. The project is over, Meng Yao, Wang Ji says evenly. This place is about to be crawling with cops. You don't want to be holding a man at gunpoint when they get here.
Cops? Meng Yao gasps mockingly. How distressing. Is that a siren I hear?
He cocks his head, listening. The silence in the condo, the lack of any sort of commotion outside, the absence of feet pounding down the hall are all too apparent. Meng Yao flashes his dimples, still keeping Wei Ying's head between his own head and the barrel of Wang Ji's gun.
You know, I've always found your childlike faith in the institution of policing kind of adorable when it's not getting in my way, he says. Did you really think I didn't have anyone in place for this exact sort of situation? Your call for backup was canceled almost as soon as it went out. Nobody's coming.
Wang Ji's stomach sinks.
I could always use another officer on the payroll, detective, Wen Chao had said.
He isn't so naive as to think there's no one in his department who's on the take. Thinking about his co-workers, he can come up with half a dozen possibilities without even trying. It's exactly the sort of loose end Meng Yao would make sure to have tied up. Now, Meng Yao continues, as though they're having a pleasant conversation over tea, you're going to put that gun down on the ground and step away from it.
Lan Zhan, Wei Ying grinds out. Don't.
Meng Yao jams the gun barrel harder against the side of his head, and Wei Ying falls silent, swallowing again. Shaking with rage, Wang Ji slowly lowers his gun to the ground. He straightens up and takes a few steps to the side.
There, Meng Yao sighs. That wasn't so hard, was it?
He peers out from behind Wei Ying's shoulder once more and gives Wang Ji a pitying smile, shaking his head.
Lan Wang Ji, Lan Wang Ji,
he says in a syrupy, fake sad voice.
Do you know how much time I've spent in the last few days trying to keep you alive? I got your case taken away. I even took out your partner, which I have to admit felt pretty good. I gave you every opportunity to walk away. I have been running all over town trying to save your life, but you just keep throwing it away.
He clucks regretfully.
I suppose it's my fault, really. I was so busy, I neglected to account for the possibility that you were in love with him.
Wei Ying coughs a nervous, surprised laugh.
What? What are you talking about? He's not...
I am, Wang Ji says steadily. There's a gun to Wei Ying's head. This is not the time to hide that sort of thing. He looks Wei Ying in the eye. I am. Wei Ying's eyebrows raise. All of his edges seem to soften.
Lan Zhan, he breathes.
His fathomless eyes well with tears.
This is touching, Meng Yao snaps. But perhaps not the time.
Why are you doing this? Wei Ying asks hollowly. Why can't you just let us go? Meng Yao laughs.
It's nothing personal, Wei Wuxian. I had a problem, and you presented a rather elegant solution. That's my job, you know, solving problems. Figuring whose hands can get dirty so my father's hands stay clean. He shrugs. It's just business.
Wang Ji reaches down into the center of himself, grasping for the still calm he's tried to cultivate through 15 years of daily meditation.
Think about this, he says. It's not too late. It doesn't have to go down like this.
Meng Yao sneers at him. Unfortunately, it does. You saw to that when you broke into my office, like the nosy know-it-all prick you are. He shakes his head. You know, Si Chen's worried you're not spontaneous enough. If only he knew.
It's kind of a relief, knowing that his dislike of Meng Yao is reciprocated so vehemently. It makes him feel better about it.
Don't talk about my brother,
Wang Ji says, letting his disdain for Meng Yao imbue his words.
You're not worthy to speak his name.
If he's involved in this at all, it's thanks to you, Meng Yao spits. Like I've said, I've worked very, very hard to try to keep you out of this for his sake. Not that it's done me any good.
With the hand that's not holding the gun, Meng Yao reaches into his pocket and pulls out a pair of handcuffs. He tosses them on the floor in front of Wang Ji. Put those on. Keeping his eyes on the gun, Wang Ji bends to pick up the cuffs.
If you kill him, Wei Ying says, I won't help you build the rest of the website.
I'll try that again.
I won't help you build the rest of the website.
His voice is hushed, deadly, seething.
You'll have to kill me.
At which point, Wen Ying interjects from the corner, your deal with my sister is officially off.
Wait, what? Wei Ying asks, turning his head slightly to call over his shoulder. What deal?
Wen Ying shrugs. You live, I live. She stays quiet. Either of us dies. She goes public with the literally mountains of evidence she's amassed about our uncle Rohan over the years. It all gets released automatically anyway, if she goes more than 48 hours without inputting her password.
Meng Yao huffs an irritated sigh.
You can't possibly know that. You haven't spoken to your sister since Sunday.
I don't need to have spoken to her to know what she'll do.
You think we've never discussed it?
Wen Ying gives an amiable chuckle.
You didn't grow up in the house we grew up in.
Lam Wang Ji, Meng Yao says through gritted teeth, turning his back on Wen Ying. Put the cuffs on and sit down on the couch, or I will kill him and you, and the website can go fuck itself.
Wang Ji believes him. He snaps the cuffs around his left wrist, then his right. The metal is warm from being in Meng Yao's pocket. Wei Ying's jaw tenses, and he exhales a long breath, blinking rapidly. With slow, careful movements, watching Meng Yao the whole time, Wang Ji walks to the drab beige couch and sits down. Meng Yao relaxes visibly, but keeps the gun barrel resting firmly against Wei Ying's head. Wang Ji's mind is racing through possibilities, discarding them as fast as they arise. His gun is on the floor, too far away for him to dive for, especially with his hands impeded. There's no one on this entire floor of the building to hear someone yelling for help, or a gunshot, for that matter. He realizes, with a chilled certainty, that the best opportunity will come in the moments immediately before Meng Yao tries to kill him, when he'll have to take the gun away from Wei Ying's head to point it at Wang Ji.
I can't think of how I'm going to get out of this until I know how I'm getting him out of it, Wei Ying had said of Wen Ying, and for all Wang Ji had been so angry with him for that, he now understands the mindset completely. That's the play, then. Wait for Meng Yao to aim the gun at Wang Ji, and use those precious few seconds to make a bid for freedom. The metallic tang of adrenaline seeps into his mouth.
Here's what's going to happen, Meng Yao says. We're going to sit here and wait for my compatriots. All of you are going to behave yourselves until they get here. He adds through gritted teeth, and nobody has to get shot.
He's lying. Of course he's lying. When the Wens arrive, they will kill Wang Ji, if Meng Yao doesn't beat them to it. Regardless of his brave assertion to the contrary, Wei Ying will finish the website to save Wen Ying's life, and then they'll kill Wei Ying as well. There's a flash of movement behind Meng Yao. Wang Ji almost looks before he catches himself, but he keeps his eyes trained on Meng Yao's face, forcing himself not to react. In his peripheral vision, a black and purple blur appears in the broken-down doorway, enters the room, and resolves into the figure of Jiang Wenyin, gun-drawn. Wang Ji's heart constricts and drops into his stomach. The sudden relief and hope are so painful he feels like he's going to be sick. From the corner, Wang Ji can hear Wenyin draw in an involuntary breath, but he makes no other movement, no other sound. Good for him.
"Did you know Meng Yao and I know each other?"
Wang Ji asks Wei Ying, trying to keep Meng Yao's attention pointed forward, at the couch, away from the door.
"No, I didn't," Wei Ying says immediately. He may not know what's happening, but he clearly recognizes stalling tactics when he sees them.
"How'd that happen?" Behind them, Wang Ji can see Jiang taking stock of the situation. Wen Ying and Wang Ji in handcuffs. Meng Yao's aggressive posture, the gun to Wei Ying's head. Lightning flashes in Jiang's eyes. Okay, quick reader's break here. We kind of mentioned this at the break, but we were all saying we should have seen it coming, especially with Meng Yao holding Wei Wuxian hostage because of the echoes of canon. And one of the things I love is sort of, and I've mentioned this before, that in fanfic, you're not starting from scratch, right? You can get to make these sort of subtle references, and they hit for us as the audience that knows what you're doing. And of course, having this whole standoff be canon reminiscent, and then of course things like lightning flashing and Jiang's eyes, like I love that kind of evocation, which can't happen in original fiction. Okay. Just wanted to appreciate that line for a second.
"He's dating my brother," Wang Ji says.
Jiang is moving stealthily into position. Wang Ji can see out of the corner of his eye that he's frowning, looking for the best angle to take Meng Yao down without shooting Wei Ying as well.
"Oof," Wei Ying groans. "That's awkward," he laughs.
Despite everything, despite the gun and the handcuffs and the seeming hopelessness of their situation, he laughs. And Wang Ji loves him so much. Meng Yao taps the gun barrel against the side of Wei Ying's head, and he stops laughing.
"Get on your knees, please,"
Meng Yao smiles insincerely, blinking his doe eyes, like Wei Ying's done something gauche that Meng Yao is too polite to point out. Wei Ying meets Wang Ji's eyes. Wang Ji nods in what he hopes is an encouraging manner, thinking, "It's okay, it's okay, it's going to be okay," as hard as he can, as though if he thinks it hard enough, Wei Ying will believe him. Haltingly, Wei Ying drops to one knee, then the other.
"Hands on your head."
Meng Yao's voice is sweet but firm. He's looking at Wei Ying now. Wang Ji risks a glance up at Jiang, who's standing at the ready, gun aimed at Meng Yao's back. They just need a moment, one moment, where Meng Yao's gun isn't aimed at Wei Ying's head, where an involuntary muscle spasm on Meng Yao's part would mean disaster, even if Jiang did get a shot off. Jiang looks at him, and Wang Ji gives him the tiniest nod of acknowledgement. Meng Yao is still watching Wei Ying, who slowly puts his hands up, interlacing his fingers behind his head, but Wei Ying hasn't taken his eyes off of Wang Ji. He sees Wang Ji's nod, even if he can't know what it's about. When Wang Ji meets his eyes again, Wei Ying looks a question at him. Holding eye contact, Meng Ji raises his eyebrows.
"Do you trust me?"
Hands on his head, Wei Ying dips his chin down slightly.
"Yes."
Wang Ji needs to make Meng Yao point the gun away from Wei Ying, and that means making Meng Yao point the gun at him instead. He takes a sharp, shallow breath. Another. His chest is clenching, his throat stings.
"Meng Yao,"
he says, throwing his head back imperiously, his voice coming out surprisingly strong, surprisingly confident. Every muscle in his stomach, his back, all the way up to his spine, to his skull, is tensed, ready. Even his veins seem to constrict around fear coursing through them.
"Listen to me. I can help you. If you give up the Wens, I'm sure the DA will cut you a deal. You're not cut out for prison."
I'll try that again. "You're not cut out for prison," he adds, allowing a patronizing note to drip into his voice. Meng Yao flushes. The smile drops from his face completely, and for a moment he looks truly enraged. He looks like a murderer. Quick reader's break.
I've got to note that this is I feel I love the moment where basically Lan Wangji realizes he has to talk his way into a solution, and that's what he's always sort of identified as his weak spot, right? But that's what he's got to do, and he's got to make it happen. Okay, so the smile drops from his face completely, and for a moment he looks truly enraged. He looks like a murderer. "Well, I'm not going to prison, and I don't need your help with that, you self-righteous ass," he hisses. He takes a breath, visibly striving to recompose himself. He forces the smile back onto his face, but it has a deranged quality now, his eyes still burning with anger. Meng Ji can see Meng Yao make the decision. It seems to calm him further. Hopefully Jiang can see it too. "I really didn't want to have to kill you, Lan Wangji, but you leave me no choice," Meng Yao is saying now, and his look of regret is almost genuine. "Si Chen will be devastated. At least he'll have me to help him pick up the pieces." He lifts the gun away from the back of Wei Ying's head and brings it to bear on Wang Ji's face. Jiang shoots him in the leg. It's a difficult shot, incapacitating without being fatal, and when he has the time to think about it, Wang Ji is sure he'll be impressed. Meng Yao screams and drops like a stone as his leg collapses underneath him. The gun goes off in Meng Yao's hand, but the shot goes wide and high. It plows into the wall behind Wang Ji, who is already moving, diving forward. He loops his cuffed hands around Wei Ying's shoulders, dragging him back out of the way. Jiang advances on Meng Yao, who is writhing on the floor in pain. "Drop the weapon," he barks, gun aimed at Meng Yao's head. "Or better yet, don't drop it. Give me a fucking reason, asshole." Face contorting, Meng Yao drops the gun on the floor and grabs his bleeding leg with both hands. Jiang kicks the gun away. Wei Ying is struggling to his feet. Wang Ji still has his cuffed together arms around Wei Ying's waist and sees no reason to let go. Wei Ying leans on him heavily. "Jiang Cheng, what the fuck?" Wei Ying chokes out. "Try to be a little less surprised that I came to rescue you, Wei Wishan," Jiang says gruffly, keeping his eyes on Meng Yao. I know, just like... Wei Ying laughs a little hysterically. "Holy shit, dude, you just shot a guy." He's clinging to Wang Ji's arms. His hands are shaking. "I'm so confused as to what you thought I did for a living before tonight," Jiang snarks. Reader's note, so true, I was thinking that too. I mean, I'm assuming hopefully most of the time one assumes he's not shooting people, but the surprise is a little out of place. Wen Ying waves as best as he can while handcuffed to a chair. "Hi, Jiang Cheng." "Hi, Wen Ying." Wen Ying beams. "How have you been?" Jiang snorts. "Oh, just peachy. You should call your brother, Lan," he adds over his shoulder. "You talk to Si Chen?" Wang Ji asks, surprised. At the sound of Si Chen's name, Meng Yao gives a choked little sob. "No," Jiang says, a little distracted. Keeping his weapon trained on Meng Yao, he grabs the throw pillow off the couch and tosses it to him. Meng Yao wraps it around his leg, the soft beige fabric going. The soft beige fabric going crimson. "Your, Nye's brother, I guess, called me this morning and said you hadn't been home and that I needed to go find you. Like I'm supposed to fucking know where you are. I don't even know how he got my number." "Yeah, he, Wang Yu doesn't have the time or energy to explain Nye Huaisang right now. He does that. Anyway, I figured you must have gone to that fucking nightclub. Fucking terrible decision. You're not supposed to do things like that by yourself," Jiang grouses. Reader's note, really alarming when Jiang Cheng is the voice of the reader, or at least my voice. When Jiang Cheng is expressing my thoughts and feelings, I worry, but he's doing a good job here. Okay. "I was already on my way down there when I heard the call come in over dispatch, then heard the cancellation come through." He sniffs. "Figured I'd come down here anyway, just in case." "My hero," Wei Ying says, batting his eyelashes. Jiang rolls his eyes. "Get fucked," he says, but he says it like I love you. And Wang Ji realizes with a sort of resigned dread that the period of his life where he has to spend time with Jiang Wanyin is only just beginning. Jiang turns back to Meng Yao and clears his throat. "Yao Meng, you're under arrest for... let's start with kidnapping and we'll go from there. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law."
As Jiang continues reading Meng Yahu's rights, Wei Ying turns in the circle of Wang Ji's arms, putting his arms around Wang Ji's neck. He's shaking badly now. He's so pale that his lips are the same sickly, washed-out color as the rest of his face, just a shade darker than the plaster dust that still covers him. Wang Ji's seen this before in people who have been through an ordeal. Now that the danger is over, the shock is setting in. Wei Ying looks into Wang Ji's eyes, even as his own eyes are going dull and glassy. He smiles, a little dreamily. "My hero," he breathes again, and collapses. Scene break, and I'm going to take a quick break here. 6 months later. Wei Ying complains, flopping down onto Wang Ji's bed. "My feet hurt, Lan Zhan." "If you wore shoes with better arch support," Wang Ji points out, hanging his shirt neatly in the closet. "Your feet would not hurt so much by the end of the day." "Spoken like a guy who's never waited tables," Wei Ying retorts. "Besides, shoes cost money." Meng Ji acknowledges, privately resolving to buy Wei Ying some new sneakers the next day. "Oh no," Wei Ying says. He crawls to the edge of the bed and sits up on his knees on it, so his face is close to level with Wang Ji's. "I see you. I see you making that face. Don't even think about it, Lan Zhan. I am perfectly capable of buying my own shoes, and furthermore..." Wang Ji turns from the closet, sliding his hands around Wei Ying's narrow little waist, and kisses whatever words Wei Ying was going to say next right out of his mouth. Wei Ying hums instead, wrapping his arms around Wang Ji's neck. Wang Ji doesn't know if he'll ever get used to this. Wei Ying in his arms, in his bed, getting to see him every day, getting to hear his laugh and touch his skin and kiss him whenever he wants. He doesn't know if he'll ever stop feeling this way, like his heart is overflowing with something sweet and fizzy, like the smell of Wei Ying in his sheets is enough to move him almost to tears. He hopes not. "So how was it for you today?" Wei Ying murmurs when they come up for air. "Baby's first protest. I'm so proud." Wang Ji hooks his chin over Wei Ying's shoulder, breathes in the scent of his hair. "It was interesting." It had been interesting, attending a protest as a protester instead of a cop. Interesting and intense and kind of terrifying and deeply depressing. His feet also hurt after standing for 16 hours, even though his shoes are much sturdier than Wei Ying's. But so does his heart. He'd broken a dozen laws getting Wei Ying back. He'd risked compromising a major investigation. He'd conducted multiple warrantless searches. He'd disobeyed direct orders from his commanding officer. He'd bashed a guy's face in and left him in a stairwell. He'd gone into work the morning after the confrontation with Meng Yao, expecting to be formally reprimanded, demoted, even fired, and he would have deserved those things. He'd been ready to face the consequences of his actions. Instead, he'd received a week's suspension with pay and a slap on the back from Captain Yao, who jovially suggested that naming Jue was getting to be a bad influence on Wang Ji, and that was it. Major Crimes was happy because Wei Ying's testimony and the files from the computer in Nightless City allowed them to arrest a dozen mid-level Wen functionaries. Wen Rohan prudently sent his younger son back to China until the heat died down, but it was still good PR for the Wen task force. Gene Corps pinned all the blame solidly on Meng Yao, which allowed the captain to act like Meng Ji had apprehended some sort of internet supervillain without angering any of the captain's cronies, of which Jing Wangshan is certainly one. The multiple charges of kidnapping and conspiracy to commit kidnapping against Meng Yao meant that the FBI had gotten involved. Meng Yao underwent a lengthy federal trial and is now beginning an even lengthier stint in federal prison. Wen Chao is in China. Shui Yang is in the wind. Wei Ying's friend Xiao Xingchen has assured them that he wouldn't be back to bother them but refused to elaborate. No one else from Jin Kuo was ever even charged with anything. Meng Yao was left holding the bag. Wang Ji would feel a little bad for him if he hadn't pointed a gun at Wei Ying. Everything else Wang Ji had done was just waved off, smoothed over. It had gotten results, so what did anything else matter? If anything, Wang Ji's co-workers liked him more after all that, because they'd seen him break the rules. He couldn't forget how easily Meng Yao had canceled the dispatch call to the condo, but there was no way of knowing who in the department was on the Wen's payroll. Probably more than one person. Potentially a lot of people. It hadn't sat right with him, how easily it all blew over. And there was Wei Ying.
Wei Ying, who had averred that he wasn't going to ask Wang Ji to quit his job for him, but who tensed up and withdrew whenever Wang Ji talked about work. Wei Ying, who would sometimes stop talking about his activist work mid-sentence and change the subject with a cautious look at Wang Ji. Wei Ying, who was reluctant to introduce Wang Ji to his friends. Part of loving someone, it turns out, is seeing yourself through their eyes. And Wang Ji didn't like what he saw. He could see the future, as clearly as if he were actually psychic. He could see that this would be the thing that broke them. He hadn't known ahead of time that his last day as a cop would be his last day. He'd just woken up one morning and known he had to quit. Yao had shouted at him, somehow managing to simultaneously argue that it was Wang Ji's duty to stay and continue enforcing the law, and that Wang Ji had never been a team player and that the precinct would be better off. Yiming Jue had grunted and said, "Yeah, I figured." And Wang Ji had packed up his desk, and that had been it. I wasn't asking you to do that. I wouldn't ask you to do that for me," Wei Ying had said carefully that night. "It wasn't," Wang Ji had replied. "For you, I mean." Wei Ying had just looked at him, waiting. "Maybe it's because of you," Wang Ji had said slowly. "But it's not for you. It's for me. He shrugged. "Can't do it anymore." Wei Ying had smiled at him, looking unbearably relieved, and climbed into his lap. "Thank fuck," he'd whispered, leaning his forehead against Meng Ji's. "Thank fuck. I didn't want you to make that kind of life decision just for me, but thank fuck, Lan Zhan. I didn't know what I'd do. I thought we were going to have to break up." He'd kissed Meng Ji's eyebrow, his nose, his cheek, his lips. "We should celebrate," he'd murmured suggestively. Wang Ji had stood up, lifting Wei Ying with his legs wrapped around Wang Ji's waist, intending to carry him to the bedroom, but they'd ended up celebrating up against the wall in the hallway instead. "Hey," Wei Ying says now, cupping Wang Ji's face in his hands, drawing his mind back to the present. "You got all quiet." "I'm always quiet." Wei Ying raises a skeptical eyebrow. "Sorry," Wang Ji says. "Today was challenging." He'd thought he'd been ready for the protest today. How it would feel to be calling for the abolition of a group he'd belonged to until a few months ago. But even with all of Wang Ji's mental preparation, he'd been taken aback by how deeply it affected him. It had been hard, seeing the faces of people he'd known, people he'd worked with and collaborated with and maybe not liked. Wang Ji has come to realize that he'd never really liked most of his old co-workers, but he doesn't like a lot of people, so he hadn't noticed. But had tolerated, at least. Had tried to see the good in them and give them the benefit of the doubt where he could. Seeing those familiar faces twisted into almost unrecognizable masks of anger and suspicion. It's difficult to come to terms with. "I can imagine," Wei Ying says simply, smoothing a hand between Wang Ji's shoulder blades. "Thanks for coming with us. It meant a lot to me to have you there." "I needed to go," Wang Ji mumbles into his shoulder. "It's true, he did." Wei Ying kisses his cheek. "Do you have work tomorrow?" Since leaving the SPD, Wang Ji has been doing some work for Nie Huaisang in his art gallery when he's not studying for the LSAT. He's looking forward to taking it relatively easy for a year or so before hopefully starting law school next fall. He still can't decide if he should be encouraging Nie Huaisang and Wei Ying to get to know each other better, since they get along like a house afire, or trying to keep them apart, since they're mildly alarming when they join forces. He says, going in early to finish the Q1 books. "I'll miss you," Wei Ying purrs, kissing his ear. "You'll see me in the morning," Wang Ji tells him, "and after you get off work." Wei Ying flings his head back dramatically, a motion that leans him up into Wang Ji in a way Wang Ji finds very intriguing. "And in between an eternity," Wei Ying sighs, bringing a hand to his brow. "Alas, how I am forsaken. When will my Lan Zhan return from the war?" "Shameless," Wang Ji says, smiling. He bends to kiss the hollow of Wei Ying's collarbone, which has been revealed by his theatrics. "I'll miss you too," he whispers into it. He will. It seems foolish to think of missing Wei Ying when he sees him all the time now, but the more he gets of him, the more he wants. "Poor baby." Wei Ying draws Wang Ji closer. He slips a hand up under Wang Ji's undershirt, sliding it up the skin of Wang Ji's back. Wang Ji draws a gentle breath, his knees going a little weak just from that simple touch. Show me how much, Wei Ying breathes. In the last 6 months, Wang Ji has had ample opportunity to check off every item on his mental list of places he wants to kiss Wei Ying, and to start compiling a comprehensive, ever-growing list of his new favorites. Wei Ying's pillowy lower lip, the ticklish spot just behind his ear, the kissing of which causes Wei Ying to giggle and squirm or to arch and groan, depending on what else Wang Ji is doing at the time. The tiny mole above his sternum, the long muscle that runs up the inside of Wei Ying's thigh, the dimples on either side of his tailbone, each of which is the exact size and shape of the tip of Wang Ji's tongue. Afterward, when they are both drowsy and loose-limbed with postcoital contentment, Wei Ying murmurs, "Your bed is much comfier than my bed." "Hmm," Wang Ji agrees. "Also, no one else is here." "Wen Ying is a model roommate," Wei Ying protests. He runs the flat of his hand along Wang Ji's chest. "I can't believe you're hiding all this under those button-downs," he says appreciatively. "The world needs to know how hot you are, Lan Zhan. You should just be naked all the time." Wang Ji exhales a small laugh through his nose, feeling his ears warm slightly. "I would be cold." "I'd warm you up," Wei Ying promises, snuggling into him. "Did you set your alarm?" Wei Ying grumps. "Yes." "I love you," Wang Ji thinks, skimming his fingertips over Wei Ying's bare shoulder. "Good night," he says out loud. "Sleep tight, baby," Wei Ying sighs. The next morning, Wang Ji is boiling water for tea when Si Chen pads into the kitchen, already dressed for the day in a soft blue cardigan and gray cords. He smiles when Wang Ji sees him and gets out a second cup. The two of them drink their tea and eat their breakfasts in silence, the dining area slowly growing lighter with the morning sun. It's a time of day Wang Ji has come to treasure, this simple, quiet ritual with his brother, not needing to say anything, just enjoying each other's company. It's a welcome spot of tranquility before either of their respective boyfriends wakes up and starts making noise. Reader's note, that does seem like a wild contrast with all four of them in the same apartment, huh? Okay. In the weeks following Meng Yao's arrest, Si Chen had been hollowed out by grief, wandering silently in and out of rooms, picking things up and putting them back down again. The worst part of it had been that he wouldn't talk to Wang Ji about it, would barely talk to Wang Ji at all, and Wang Ji had no idea what to say to him. It had been the same when their father died. Si Chen had done all he could to be there for Wang Ji, but couldn't allow him to return the favor. Shortly after Wang Ji gave his notice at the precinct, Naming Jue had shown up at their door with a stack of bootleg Hikaru no Go DVDs and a pint of soy ice cream, and basically shooed Wang Ji out of the apartment, pausing only briefly to give Wang Ji a hard time about dating Wei Ying, which Naming Jue claimed he saw coming the whole time. The next morning, Si Chen was still behaving like an automaton, but like a slightly more realistic and lifelike one. It wasn't long after that Wang Ji saw him smile for the first time since Wang Yao's arrest. He has no idea at what point their relationship turned romantic, but sometime in the last few months, Niaming Jue has gone from crashing on the couch to crashing in Si Chen's bed, and Wang Ji is happy for them. He's been rooting for them to get together for ages, of course, but he's also just enjoying seeing Si Chen smiling again. Niaming Jue stumbles into the dining room, wearing Si Chen's purple UW sweatpants. Si Chen likes his sweatpants baggy, which means they fit Niaming Jue just about perfectly, besides being too long. "Morning," he mumbles, scratching his stomach. The scar from his shoulder surgery is still a deep pink, although apparently the doctors have said it will fade with time. Wang Ji averts his eyes. The end result of his matchmaking scheme has meant a great deal more shirtless Niaming Jue in his life than he'd anticipated. "Your brother's boyfriend needs to start wearing a shirt in the morning, or I'm going to say something embarrassing to him," Wei Ying confessed to him once after too much whiskey. He supposes that being confronted with his former partner's iliac crest at 7 a.m. is a small price to pay for his brother's happiness. Naming Jue kisses Si Chen's forehead and plops down at the table with a protein shake. "So," he grunts, "when you quit, did you, like, storm into the captain's office and slam your badge and gun down on the desk?" Startled, Wang Ji looks up at him. "That's what cops always do in movies," Naming Jue muses. "Seems like it would be pretty satisfying." Si Chen is unsuccessfully trying to hide a smile. No, Wang Ji says. "I provided the captain with written notice of my resignation and forwarded a copy to the union rep." Naming Jue makes a face. That sounds boring. I'm going to do the first one. He has a protein. He has protein shake in his mustache.
You could always do the written notice as a backup, Si Chen suggests.
You're quitting, Wang Ji says, dumbfounded. After last night? Yeah.
We've been discussing it for a while now, Si Chen says.
You quit, Ye Mingzhui points out, nudging Wang Ji's knee with his foot.
I did.
So maybe it just took me a little longer. Maybe I'm not as smart as you, Ye Mingzhui snorts. Can't be that I'm more stubborn. Nobody's more stubborn than your bullheaded ass.
Wang Ji raises an eyebrow at him, feeling secretly pleased.
His friendship with Ye Mingzhui has felt a little strained, a little awkward, since Wang Ji quit. It would be nice to have it back.
What will you do?
Shit, I don't know. Was kind of hoping to have something lined up, but...
Ye Mingzhui shakes his head.
After last night, I'm just out.
Wang Ji nods. He can relate.
Si Chen takes Ye Mingzhui's hand. Ye Mingzhui gives him the wide-eyed, unguarded look he gets sometimes now. Like he can't believe his luck. And once again, Wang Ji can relate.
You have lots of marketable skills, Si Chen says. You'll be fine.
Huai Sang will find you something, Wang Ji says. He needs a project anyway. All three of them stare into space for a moment, contemplating the dangers of an under-occupied Nie Huaisang.
I don't think quitting's going to take that long, Ye Mingzhui says eventually. Want to grab lunch after?
I would, but I have a faculty meeting, Si Chen tells him.
Wang Ji, lunch? I could come by the gallery.
Okay.
Ye Mingzhui pulls out his phone and starts scrolling through it, appearing to believe the matter settled. Wang Ji smiles to himself and goes to get ready for work. Wei Ying is still sprawled out across Wang Ji's bed, asleep. Before Wang Ji leaves, he bends down to kiss Wei Ying's cheek.
Have a good day, Wei Ying mumbles. His skin sleeps soft and warm under Wang Ji's hand.
Love you.
Love you too, Wang Ji says softly, his heart full. See you tonight. Author's end notes.
I guess I will, right before the author's end notes, I'll note that the extra in is the two of them between these. Like, it's after the story, but it's before the 6 months later. So we will get a little bit more about them getting together. And that doesn't involve guns, I assume. Okay, author's end notes. This chapter is accompanied by donations to the Northwest Community Bail Fund and to Life After Hate. Special thanks to Idren for donating this FTH work for Stulti Loquentia. Stulti, I hope you liked it. Big shout-outs to my betas, Duessa, Spoops, and Ericacia for all the encouragement, /feedback/yelling, especially with this last chapter and epilogue, which I rewrote in its entirety no fewer than four times. Headcanons for this AU that didn't make it into the epilogue include... Reader's note, I love these. Okay. I mean, I don't know about these ones in specific, but the idea of generally just like the author being like, here's the stuff I couldn't fit in, but I feel very strongly. I love that. Okay. Wang Ji gives regular talks at Xiao Xing Chen's house about police tactics and how to avoid them, what your rights are, what to watch out for, etc. He hates it because he hates public speaking, but Xiao Xing Chen has a way of smiling and assuming out loud that of course he'll do the right thing that's impossible to say no to. Nie Huaisang and Mian Mian have already shown Wei Ying their high school yearbooks, including where Wang Ji signed Nie Huaisang's best, thought Wang Ji. Lan Qiren is over the moon that Wang Ji has decided to go to law school, but has no idea how to express this. As a consequence, Wang Ji wonders if his uncle is a little mad about law school for some reason. Wang Ji and Song Lan have become fast friends, now that Song Lan and Xiao Xing Chen are back together. Wang Ji is borrowing Song Lan's old LSAT prep books. Wei Ying hasn't officially moved into the Lan's apartment, but he sleeps there so often that Wen Ying has started turning the bottom bunk in their room into a fort. Wei Ying has yet to notice. The restraining order doesn't matter to Shui Yang. The fact that Xiao Xing Chen cried when he said he never wanted to see him again does. Wang Ji is planning to propose this summer on the roof. Wei Ying is planning to propose this summer on the roof. Thanks so much to everyone who's been reading along. It's been so fun writing my first fic in this fandom. Reader's note, this is the first fic in the fandom? Oh my god. Wow. Good job. Okay, back to the author's note. I have, checks notes, three other whips in this fandom, one of which is another multi-chapter fic, so I hope y'all will check those out when they're published. In the meantime, come say hi on Tumblr. So I believe many of those have now been completed, and I think at least some of them have been podficked. So you should go read and or listen to those as well. gosh, very satisfying ending. I am looking forward to reading the extra because I can always use some more romantic tension. But I like that there's just sort of some peace at the end of this one. I love that. And then both planning to propose. So cute. Okay, so I will stop here. I will be back for at least one of the extras pretty soon. Thank you again to Drafter for having blanket permission. It's so appreciated. It makes it really easy for us to get to work on these projects whenever we're ready. And this is such a fun one to do. And it was so fun to have people listening. So thank you to everybody who's been listening live on and off, or the people that have been here the whole time. And thank you to everybody who's listening later. And I'll speak to you all for the extras and or the next fic. Bye.